This is All In. I'm Matt Pelzer. In a few minutes, we'll be talking about the new documentary, The Rescue List. But first, an update on the coronavirus outbreak in Indiana. Governor Eric Holcomb this afternoon announced another series of steps to help slow the spread of the virus. Those steps include a mandatory stay-at-home order that affects tomorrow night, starting just before midnight Eastern time. The governor says essential travel and work is allowed. Otherwise, it should be postponed through at least April 7th.
So stay home. Get groceries only when you need them, and only buy what you need. I'm telling you, the next 2 weeks are critical. That's March 24th through April 7th, if we're going to slow the spread. And we must slow the spread.
Essential activities that are still allowed include grocery shopping, doctor appointments, taking care of others, and going to some kinds of essential work and outdoor activities. The goal, of course, is to avoid overwhelming hospitals and health workers by slowing the spread of the virus and limiting the number of people getting sick at any one time. Several nearby states recently put similar orders in place. Michigan, Illinois, Kentucky, and Ohio have joined other states in restricting non-essential travel and business. Holcomb also announced most state government offices would close for in-person services, among other changes. Stay with this public media station for much more on this story, on air during All Things Considered this afternoon and online. A documentary called The Rescue List airs on PBS tonight. It's about children who are enslaved and made to work on a lake in Ghana in West Africa, and a team of social workers who try to rescue them. Joining me now are two filmmakers behind the movie, Alyssa Fedeli and Zachary Fink. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
And why did you decide to make a movie about this?
Well, it's interesting. I actually met a man named James Kofi Annan about 5 years ago. He is a Ghanaian man who I met here in the United States, who told me his story about being trafficked into slavery when he was a child. He was trafficked when he was six to this lake in northern Ghana, and he escaped when he was 13. Fast forward 30 years, and James had put himself through school and had a job and was working on that job and decided that he needed to help other children that were like him. And he ended up starting to rescue children on the lake, on Lake Volta. And a few years later, founded the rescue organization that is featured in our film. And so it was really that kind of chance encounter that led us to this story and the work that this team was doing.
Yeah, we've heard that James, the founder of Challenging Heights, is an especially humble person for all the work that he's doing. What was it like talking with him?
Well, he is an especially humble person, but he's also very forthcoming. You know, he tells his story in a really emotionally impactful way. He's a very powerful speaker, but he works really behind the scenes right now because he's built up this incredible team of people, because he's this charismatic leader who, you know, has rallied other social workers and other adults who also have experienced human trafficking to kind of come to the aid of other children that have had these similar experiences. And in fact, James is the inspiration for the film The Rescue List, but because he's working behind the scenes, doesn't really feature in the film at all. He's not portrayed in the story, because we tell an observational story of the rescue and rehabilitation of the children, which is being run by the team that James has put together.
And there are a number of other people on the team who do this and conduct some of these rescues. And one who is featured pretty prominently is also a former child slave. Are many of the people doing this work from that world themselves?
Yeah. So Kwame, the lead rescuer in the film, was actually one of the first children that James helped rescue. Ah. And he was one of the first people that we met when we did our initial research trip to Ghana. And many of the people who are employed by Challenging Heights have either experienced trafficking firsthand or come from the communities that are targeted by traffickers. They're called source communities. Challenging Heights is based in one of the source communities. And so one of the things that really drew us to this organization, I think, is one of the reasons that their work is so effective, is that it's a grassroots organization that is staffed by people who come from the culture and the community that they're serving. So their understanding of the challenges that these families face is really direct because they experience it themselves.
Alyssa, there are a lot of ways to make a movie, as I know you're aware. How did you decide how to tell this story in documentary form?
Yeah, so Zach and I actually both have backgrounds in cultural anthropology and observational filmmaking. And when we set out to make the film, we weren't necessarily focused on making a strictly verite or strictly observational film, but because we found ourselves working inside this rehabilitation shelter with children who were going through recovery, we felt that the best way forward was to film the story observationally, so that we were showing the process of recovery as it unfolded, rather than sitting everyone down for interviews, which could potentially re-traumatize the children as they were going through their recovery. So our backgrounds in anthropology really helped us embed in the community and tell the story observationally as it unfolded in the field.
Zach, as I was watching this film, I found myself wondering about the technical process. You know, you're shooting from far away to kind of let things happen organically and observe that. And I understand you had a really small team. What's the process like for a project like this?
Yeah, so it really was Alyssa and I working in the field together. I'm the cinematographer and Alyssa was recording sound. And we had a third person with us who was our kind of do it everything kind of a guy. He's an associate producer from Ghana who also works with the organization Challenging Heights and speaks at least a couple of the languages that are spoken in the film. There's about 6 non-English languages that are spoken in the film, plus a little bit of English. And we found that the biggest technological challenge really was just kind of having a sense of what was going on in front of the camera, which we never fully grasped what was being said. We did have to really follow the emotion and the energy of what was happening in front of us and kind of dedicate ourselves to, you know, rolling the camera and capturing moments as they unfolded, just by kind of feeling the emotion of the room and what was going on. There were some instances where we stayed rather distant from our subjects and used a little bit of a longer lens. One scene that I'm thinking about is when young Edom goes to the beach to say a special prayer. We stayed pretty far back from him to give him his space. But there were a lot of other times when, you know, we had a shorter focal length lens on the camera and we were right there with people all along the way. And we were able to kind of make that space for ourselves to be in there with them because of the amount of time that we spent in the field working with them. We really kind of installed ourselves in their lives and they became comfortable with us around, and you know, we all became very, very close and friendly.
I have some questions relating to the local organization in Indianapolis that saw your film and wanted to help out. But along those lines, and specifically referring to that scene, Alyssa, you're in charge of the audio. That was a scene where Edom is praying at the beach that was really, really striking. How did you capture his prayer?
Yeah, so as we were getting ready to get in the car and travel to the seaside for Edom to say his prayer, we were, as Zach mentioned, we were, you know, really careful to let the social workers and Edom know that we were going to stay far back so that he could go to the water's edge and have this hopefully cathartic experience. And because of that, we placed a radio mic, a lavalier microphone, on Edom's, you know, shirt, which many of the main characters in the film are wearing radio mics. So we placed that on his shirt, and you know, let him walk away from the camera to make his prayer. And so what you're hearing was, you know, captured by the mic that he was wearing.
Interestingly, about that scene, you know, we expected that this was going to be a 2 or 3 minute moment that Adam was going to have on the beach alone. And so we really kind of prepared ourselves to film it all in one take from a distance. And Adam just kept praying. What turns out to be maybe a 3 or 4 minute scene in the film was actually a 45 minute prayer in real time.
Really? Wow. Later in the show, we're going to talk with someone from the Buckingham Foundation, which actually got involved in helping the rescue efforts because they saw your movie. This is a locally based philanthropic arm of a local real estate company. What was it like to find out about that?
We were absolutely floored to learn that the Buckingham Foundation had seen our film at the Heartland International Film Festival in Indianapolis and had been so moved that they reached out directly to Challenging Heights, visited the organization in Ghana, and then sponsored the building of a shelter that enabled Challenging Heights to double the capacity of their rehabilitation shelter. When we heard the news, I mean, we were just absolutely floored. It was beyond anything that we imagined would be an outcome from this film.
Yeah, I mean, as documentary filmmakers, there's many filmmakers in the world that are making kind of social impact documentaries, and for us, you know, this kind of goes beyond our wildest dreams of the type of impact that a film like this can have in the world.
Well, and there is a social impact campaign happening for this movie to screen it in different communities. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I have to say the social impact campaign has been a little bit upended by the COVID-19 pandemic that
we're
all experiencing. Yeah. Up until, kind of things hit America, we were planning on doing in-person screenings all across the country in communities where people wanted to host. Now we are pivoting more to an online screening campaign. And there are plenty of opportunities for people to have access to the film through the PBS POV website.
Alyssa Fedeli and Zachary Fink, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Thanks so much. It's been our pleasure.
Thank you.
They're the filmmakers behind The Rescue List, which airs tonight on PBS. And up next, we'll bring in two new voices to talk about the rescue effort in Ghana and how an Indiana group got involved after seeing the movie. I'm Matt Pelser. We're back with that in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're talking about The Rescue List, a new documentary airing tonight on PBS about child slavery in Ghana. On the phone now, we're joined by two guests to talk about the movie subject matter and Indiana's connection to it. Teresa Rhodes is executive director of the Buckingham Foundation. Thanks for joining us, Teresa.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
And Jeff Boyd is executive director of Friends of Challenging Heights. Jeff, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We talked with two of the filmmakers behind The Rescue List in the first part of the show, and we talked a bit about Challenging Heights. Jeff, can you tell us more about the organization and what you do?
Yes, Challenging Heights was founded by James Kofi Annan, who himself is a former child slave in Ghana, one of the lucky ones who's able to escape and had the strength and discipline and luck to get a break in life and go to college and grad school and get a good job, and started to use his personal money to help rescue other kids and to educate communities, the source communities, to prevent further trafficking of children. This was about 15 years ago when he started that work, and now they're the largest anti-trafficking organization in Ghana.
What about Friends of Challenging Heights? How is that separate from Challenging Heights? What do you do versus what they do?
Great question. So Friends of Challenging Heights is basically the U.S. arm of Challenging Heights in Ghana, and we are responsible for fundraising, donor development, certain PR efforts, et cetera.
And how did you get involved with the group, Jeff?
I used to be, like Teresa, the executive director of another foundation in Wisconsin the Hovde Foundation, who is one of the first major donors to Challenging Heights. I went to Ghana 10 years ago with our mandate to help support organizations that support vulnerable children. And I met James, saw his work, you know, their team's work there, and thought this is a great project to support. And then our foundation from Wisconsin ended up giving a lot of money to help build a shelter and further the work of Challenging Heights in Ghana.
Jeff, when you saw what was happening there, what was it about it that made you feel like you really needed to do something? I mean, I just watched the documentary, and it is powerful stuff. It's hard to imagine anything like this happening in the world. What were you feeling, I guess, when you saw some of these things happening and some of the children who were rescued?
Yes, my first time to Ghana was very impactful. It was my first time in Africa. I'd been all over the other parts of the world and seen poverty and seen kids in need, but something there just struck me. I've never seen kids actually in slavery, and I've never met someone who used to be a slave. That's just right there, a powerful moment in one's life to say, one of my best friends now is a former slave. It's crazy in our day and age that that's a reality. And I was really impressed upon James, his life story, his education and drive to make a difference, his humility and honesty. Just those kind of traits really struck me as a great partner. But it definitely was the slavery piece that got me. And then seeing kids on the lake, as you saw in the film, it just rocks your world. You see 5-year-old boys and in this condition. It's just shocking.
Teresa, can you explain what the Buckingham Foundation does?
I can. Buckingham Foundation is the philanthropic partner of Buckingham Companies, which is a locally based real estate development and construction and property management firm. And Buckingham Companies has a huge commitment to community involvement, and it's one of our goals. Where the foundation is now one of the pillars of our company, and so we really work on different ways that we can support community development, whether that is through grant making or employee volunteerism and different types of community involvement.
Now, a real estate organization in Indianapolis getting involved with child trafficking in Ghana, West Africa, it seems like it's a surprising stretch. It's pleasantly surprising, of course, but how did the Buckingham Foundation get involved in this?
Well, it's quite a story, isn't it? And, you know, I really think that emphasizes how one person can truly make a difference. And if you think about that, the power of Zach and Alyssa, the filmmakers, meeting Jeff and James at an event and becoming so intrigued with the story of Challenging Heights and what was going on there, like Jeff described. And so then making the rescue list, which was really, you know, a labor of love in some ways to them. And then again, one person being in the right place at the right time. So our president and CEO, Brad Chambers, and his wife, Carol, were attending Heartland Film Festival in October of 2018. And I have told our friends at Heartland, they really were the spark that got all of this going from our end. So the rescue list showed at Heartland Film Festival, and Brad and Carol saw that, and they just literally could not get it out of their head. It's such a compelling message, as you said, Matt, so compelling, and just could not forget about it, couldn't shake it. It just really stayed with them. And so Brad and I started having conversations about what Challenging Heights was doing and the compelling message that was there. And Buckingham Companies and Brad are both very entrepreneurial, and I would say the foundation is a bit entrepreneurial in our grant making as well. And so, like any good entrepreneur, Brad started making phone calls and got in touch with Jeff and with James and with the filmmakers and started having very detailed conversations about what would make a difference. What did Challenging Heights need? What would make a difference? How could we help? How could we get involved? And actually went over, made a visit to Ghana, met with the Challenging Heights folks, and that's what really got the ball rolling for us.
And so what has the foundation done to help since it got involved?
Well, we realized one of the things that we were told by the Challenging Heights folks is that they had capacity with the original Hovde House They have the capacity to rescue and rehabilitate about 65 children. And that was what they were, you know, focused on. And James has a very good, solid plan to eradicate the child slavery by the year 2030. And in order to do that, he was looking at ways to see how he could increase that capacity and what that would look like. So we did our due diligence and had lots of fantastic conversations. And we ended up providing the funding to construct the Buckingham House. So the Buckingham House was built and is now open at Challenging Heights. And that doubled the capacity. It really allowed them to double the number of children that they were able to go out and rescue from Lake Volta and bring back to go through the rehabilitation process, because, you know, the children certainly need to come back and heal in physical and emotional ways. And so that allowed them to double their capacity. And then we were also, through a series of conversations with Jeff and James, realized that they needed some help with their plan for their October rescue. To go out and rescue some children. And so we funded that rescue as well, which ended up in 41 children being rescued. And then they were brought back and were the first residents of the Buckingham House.
We're talking to Teresa Rhodes, Executive Director of the Buckingham Foundation, an Indianapolis-based philanthropic arm of a local real estate company, and Jeff Boyd, Executive Director of Friends of Challenging Heights, which works with an organization in Ghana, West Africa, to free children from child slavery. And Teresa, this is the group's first international opportunity, right?
It is indeed. This was a very interesting foray for us. And it did, we've been very philanthropic in the greater Indianapolis area and also in the other communities where we have a Buckingham presence. But this message, this compelling cause really provide us an opportunity to take our funding to an international level.
And it's a big jump from the very local efforts that you've been involved with here in central Indiana.
It is a big jump. It is a big jump. And like I said, you know, I think it just really underscores that message of sometimes someone being in the right place at the right time and seeing that need and learning about this issue, this very important issue that was taking place in today's day and age, and these children being enslaved at an age, sometimes at 5 and 6 year olds being enslaved and made to go through this life that they were put into. So it really grabbed us. It grabbed our attention. It was something that our employees, who, you know, our stakeholders and our, many of them are our donors, and we're just very, very focused on, and knowing that we could truly make a difference in a very hands-on way.
I'm sure every project brings its own set of challenges. But I mean, this one had to have been, I don't know, how do you navigate this when all you're used to is, well, things that are very unlike this?
Well, that's a very good observation. Even just reviewing plans and the fact that there's a difference in monetary values and certainly a difference in construction codes in Ghana and in the United States, and the way that they handle, you know, their labor and making sure that they're able to get the job done. So it was a fantastic learning experience. We Jeff has been a wonderful partner and introduced us to a number of other people that we were able to talk to who had very good, solid, positive experiences with Challenging Heights. And once we were able to dig into it and learn about the relationships that James has throughout the world, really, and the respect that he has from people and the work that he has done in such a hands-on way, it was a very easy and natural decision for us to come on board.
High praise, Jeff.
Yes, I'm honored and flattered.
Have you seen the film get attention from other groups, Jeff, that have already decided to reach out and help?
You know, the film did do the film festival circuit last year throughout the states. I give total props to Zach and Alyssa for working that, much on, you know, their own dime and time because of their passion for the cause. But the Buckingham gift was really the only major gift that's come out of those dozen or so film festivals. You know, there's been a few small donations here and there, but this interest really took us by the lights and surprise, and we're thrilled to have their support.
Can you describe more for us what Challenging Heights does? Not Friends of Challenging Heights, but the Ghana-based organization. What do they do on a day-to-day basis?
Yes, so the main pillars are prevention of trafficking. So they do a lot of community outreach and education and tell, you know, largely poor families with many kids the realities of the lake. So Lake Volta is where the kids are trafficked to, mostly from the coast, the southern coastal region of Ghana, so the source community. And it's about a 10 to 15 hour drive if you have a car. The bus is even further. So a lot of these families don't know what's happened to their kids throughout time. So we work to prevent that. They work with police to do checkpoints along the roads as funds allow and the police cooperation allows. And we also do rescue and recovery. So the rescue, it takes, let's say, a month to really plan the rescue. They'll have a list, as you saw in the film and hence the name, of kids that they're going to plan to rescue. It's hard to rescue kids off that list because you don't know where they're going to. And so the facility is not a long-term facility. To keep this a little shorter, rescue recovery, and recovery means 6 to 9 months of medical care, psychosocial counseling, art therapy, education. We have 4 or 5 classrooms on site now, more in the Buckingham House. So to get these kids ready to go into potentially first grade at age 12, 13, and then their reintegration into their families or communities. Sometimes the families, most of the times, are the ones who actually have sold the kids. So you can imagine the resentment and anger. So the kids may not want to go back with their families, but maybe with a community member or a uncle or something. And so it's that reintegration process, which is the final step. And then we monitor them after that to make sure they're safe. The last piece really is public advocacy and awareness. And James is really the man in that role. He's a lot of confronting the government about lack of resources and spending to help fight the issue. And trying to build awareness on a national level.
That was the most tense part about the film, was seeing some of the negotiations that take place with the families that are taking their children back, and also with some of the villages that have enslaved these children that the organization comes to pick up. I mean, they've got Challenging Heights has to have a team of some really, really, I don't know, smart negotiators to make that happen.
Yeah, I was there for one of the rescues years ago in the early days. We don't allow foreigners to participate like we did back then, but I wanted to, you know, see it firsthand. And it was very, very tense. You know, 3 kids were brought to the village tent, and we were way out there. And 3 other kids were not brought per their negotiated agreement. And then they never pay for the kids, by the way. It's always at the threat of bringing the police later to arrest them. Or they try to convince them first out of the goodness of their hearts. This is wrong. You got to stop. Give us the kids. We'll take them home. Some people do that. But anyway, we were in this tense moment with the village chief. And all the locals were gathering around and basically wanted to retain the 3 other kids because the other guy didn't bring his kids. And James said, Jeff, grab a kid, piggyback them. We're out of here. And we literally piggybacked 3 kids. There's 3 of us and ran to the boat and drove an hour and a half back across the lake and jumped in the car and drove 10 hours home.
Wow. I mean, and you're out there. Like you said, you're isolated. Anything can happen. How often are these people put in danger?
All the time. So our head of rescue, who is in the film, Steven, he constantly is getting in scuffles, fights, you know, threat with machetes. We've had various rescue team members have to run off into the woods and, you know, they get found days or weeks later. James has had death threats almost constantly for the last 10 years. People trying to break into his house and, you know, ransacking their office. It's very dangerous work.
What does the group Challenging Heights need help with that groups like the Buckingham Foundation have provided?
Great question. So Challenging Heights' biggest needs really are continual operational funding. You know, we're very, very honored to have bigger donors be able to build buildings. But now we got to fill those buildings and keep staff paid. And obviously in these tough economic times right now, that's certainly a big challenge.
And how long has this child slavery problem been a problem in Ghana. The lake has been around since the mid-60s. Did it start right about then?
Yeah, it started, best of my knowledge, probably a little after that, once the lake, you know, got complete and people realized, hey, we're going to move up there and start a new life fishing on the lake, once fish got introduced. And so I would say 40 years, 50 years now, it's been a problem. And as you can imagine, in those early days, there was no cell phones or internet, or people couldn't track their kids. So they would just lose their kids with no recourse and no way to recover them. And so now the word is spreading a lot faster, and we're actually doing more screenings of the film in Ghana to show Ghanaians the reality of the lake, because they've never seen the lake.
And in recent years, has the problem gotten better or worse? I would imagine with groups like Challenging Heights working, and perhaps they're not the only ones, things may have gotten better, but what is your experience?
You know, my view is that things are definitely getting better. There are many organizations now doing similar work, either on the prevention side, the rescue side, the advocacy side, and pretty importantly, on the legal enforcement side. So there's groups that I know of, like International Justice Mission, which has set up shop in Ghana, and they're working on the prosecution of traffickers. So that's another big angle to help stem the issue. So I do think it's getting better. However, I find in my conversations with Ghanaians over the years, they really refuse to believe it's a problem. And so I think we really need to focus on getting the Ghanaian culture wrapped around the idea this is a very wrong situation, and get broader support to fight it.
We'll keep this conversation going after a quick break. We're talking today about The Rescue List, a documentary about child slavery in Ghana that airs tonight on PBS, and Indiana's connection to the issue. I'm Matt Pelser. We're back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Back now to our discussion on The Rescue List, a documentary airing tonight on PBS about child slavery in Ghana. We're talking to two people about the subject matter and Indiana's connection to it. On the phone, we're joined again by Teresa Rhodes, Executive Director of the Buckingham Foundation, and Jeff Boyd, Executive Director of Friends of Challenging Heights. Teresa, are there plans to continue assisting this group, Friends of Challenging Heights, and Challenging Heights, the local group in Ghana, or keeping in contact with them to see if something more is needed?
We will indeed. This is something that I see as a long-term ongoing relationship. We were fortunate to have both Jeff and James come and join our staff last year. They were going to be in the United States, so we enticed them to come join us in Indianapolis and share some more of the background story with our team and several other community groups. And just hearing about the different ways that the team on the ground is really approaching not only the immediate needs of the children that they rescue, and as Jeff mentioned, making sure that they're rehabilitated and healed and then reintegrated into society, back with families or family members, but also the long-term plan. And again, if the intent is to end that culture and that understanding that this child slavery is acceptable, there will be a lot of things that have to fall into place. And James has a very good plan to do that. He's being pretty proactive in trying to impact the entire community and the culture, and making sure that people understand that there are other ways to have a livelihood, and there are other ways to be self-sufficient, and that education is the key to everything. And he's even running for office, for public office right now, because he realizes that he can make that impact in that way as well. So we do look forward to continuing this relationship, and Jeff and I keep in touch, and we get regular updates on Challenging Heights and their needs and what their greatest needs continue to be.
And Jeff, James, of course, is the founder of Challenging Heights. He's a former child slave himself, and this is one of the efforts to end child trafficking there. Are there any others, any other significant efforts? Where do these rescue efforts fit in there?
There are several other smaller organizations that do rescue, that have recovery centers on a smaller scale, which is a huge help to the overall fight. And there's a coalition of these organizations in Ghana that do communicate and work together. And so I think it's a multi-pronged approach amongst them.
Jeff, have you seen The Rescue List?
Several times, yes.
Yeah.
Did you think that it was a good portrayal? I mean, obviously, it sparked the Buckingham Foundation in Indianapolis to get involved.
Yes, to me, The Rescue List was a really well-done film. Again, props to Zach and Alyssa for spending a lot of time in Ghana and a lot of energy afterwards putting it together. I think it's beautifully done. It's very accurate without being overly, I'm not sure the right word right now, but I think it's a really well done film and portrays reality there.
I think I know what you're getting at. You know, it's hard to walk that line of sensitivity with this issue, you know, while also showing the human story. I guess what are some of the biggest challenges behind finding resources to help this effort and then also finding groups that are willing to help, Jeff?
You know, one of the biggest challenges is that a lot of American donors want to go and volunteer for a week to see the work, which this is a very hard topic area to volunteer in, meaning we don't allow foreigners anymore to participate in the rescues. We don't allow visitors at the recovery center. It makes the kids feel like they're in a zoo. And it's not good for their emotional healing. And so it's really hard to get people to feel like they're part of it unless they go. And going there is really expensive. It's not a cheap place to get to. It's really hard to get there, long flights. And so convincing some donors who can't go is a challenge. I think the other side, it's an expensive endeavor. So we know we're talking about $1,000 per kid just for the rescue. And that's assuming there's a 20 or 30 children per pop in each rescue. You've got obviously greater fixed costs with boat and fuel and transport. And so it's not cheap. So to rescue 100 kids per year, we're looking at $100,000 just right there.
Teresa, you lead the Buckingham Foundation, which has been a major player in this. Has anyone from the Buckingham Foundation been allowed to go? Is there an exception there, or are you doing this on good faith?
We are doing it on good faith, and we are very appreciative of the Ghanaian culture and the constructs that Jeff and James have explained to us, and certainly understand that we would not want to put the children in feeling like they're in an awkward position. So although we've had a lot of interest from our people to go over and volunteer, and we certainly have a very talented a variety of skill sets with our folks that they could, you know, certainly help, we're appreciative of the fact that that's we need to be respectful and just understand that that is not something, although we do a lot of volunteerism at Buckingham companies, that's not something that we're able to do. I agree with what Jeff said, and I do think that the rescue list does a fantastic job of portraying what it is like there, and can give donors and potential donors a very good, solid feel for, you know, if they were to support something, that Challenging Heights is being a very good steward of that and really is able to show that through the film.
Jeff,
Matt, if I could add to that, though.
Sure.
So Brad Chambers of Buckingham did go with his wife and me to Ghana last January to at least see the source communities. We did stop and visit the recovery center, but didn't spend time with the kids. So he definitely went to kind of vet that there's a physical place that exists and the work is being done. So we were thrilled that he decided to come.
Yeah. How much money, Jeff, does this rescue effort cost?
So to rescue a kid costs about $1,000. That's a little shy of what we would like to spend, but that's kind of the bare minimum. And that assumes you're rescuing 20 or 30 or more each time because of the fixed costs of that. Plus the recovery is 6 to 9 months in the shelter. So there's more and more cost there as well.
So how much then would the effort need to be expanded to eradicate child slavery and child labor in the area?
According to our estimates and our plan, we would need to increase our budget from $700,000 a year up to $2 or $3 million a year to do more rescue, more recovery. And now with the Buckingham House on site, our capacity is more than doubled in terms of, you know, beds and classrooms to guide the kids through that recovery process.
Do you hear from any children who were featured in the movie about what they thought of it being made? And, you know, it's hard when you're watching it to to kind of imagine the cameras being there because they're your eyes and that's what you're seeing. But then when you think about it, you know that the cameras are there and they're capturing these moments with these children. Did you hear from any of them about that experience?
Yes, the filmmakers have actually been in touch with them still since the film, and even recently. I don't have direct contact with those kids, but through James, I do hear about them. And I know Zach and Alyssa developed a really close bond with them, and they really, I think, felt honored that they could be part of this story to help fight the issue going forward.
We are talking to Jeff Boyd, executive director of Friends of Challenging Heights, the U.S.-based organization that helps with child trafficking in Ghana, West Africa. We're also on the line with Teresa Rhodes, executive director of the Buckingham Foundation, which is an Indianapolis-based philanthropic arm of a local real estate company. Jeff, was it difficult for some of the people involved to let cameras document such a sensitive situation?
Yes, it's always difficult to film these kind of moments. I think Zach and Alyssa use a lot of tact and smaller cameras, and they were really in the background. They were not oftentimes in the faces of kids. They literally were really far away and zooming in. The kids didn't really know they were being filmed, and Zach and Alyssa didn't know what they were saying. They were just shooting for hours and hours and hours, and later had to piece together the story once they got everything translated. So the amount of work that took is huge. But they definitely were very sensitive about being intrusive.
And I would imagine for a group, for the local organization, the local foundation Challenging Heights, they've got to see the value in this. But they're also putting a lot of faith into these filmmakers that they're going to tell the story the right way. What was that relationship like, to your knowledge? I know you weren't there perhaps as it was happening, but what was it like? What was the negotiation like, I guess, between the people working there, doing the work, and then the actual filmmakers who were there kind of, in a way, intruding?
Yeah, it's a great question, Matt. And I think there were some challenges. And over my 10 years of being involved with Challenging Heights, we've had other filmmakers and authors want to do stories and pieces. And they've all fallen through for various reasons and have sometimes cost us money. This one was Zach and Alyssa. We were lucky that they were able to cover a lot of the costs and they raised some money to do it. And so we didn't have to outlay a lot of money, but we did certainly have, you know, staff time and other complications. But they were very, very generous and have done a lot of work to help use it as a tool to raise more money in the future. Obviously, Buckingham has come on board because of this film. So we're pretty honored that it worked out.
And so when you said other groups have approached about, you know, featuring the work that's being done and it's fallen through, I mean, how much do Challenging Heights and Friends of Challenging Heights have to take that into consideration whenever they're approached about something like this? You know, it could really help in the case of the film, The Rescue List, and Buckingham Foundation jumped on board to bring some money to the table and a lot of help. But there's got to be a lot of careful consideration on the part of Challenging Heights as to who is let into this world.
That's very, very true. You're right. And one of the biggest challenges is the exclusivity that any filmmaker will want. So obviously, Zach and Alyssa put a lot of time and effort and money into this, so they want to be able to have rights to that longer term, which is natural, and we respect that, but also would limit Challenging Heights to have someone else come and film and tell the story. So we've had to say no to other requests until this certain period passes with them and the PBS, with PBS picking it up. It's really the kind of the icing on the cake to their efforts so far. And so we're hopeful that will benefit everyone involved in the near future.
Teresa, what has the philanthropic process been like from the moment that your founder saw the film and went to see it in person, to see, you know, Ghana and Challenging Heights in person, to setting up the giving and setting up the planning and things like that? Can you take me through some of that and why you decided to do what you did specifically?
Sure. I think we reacted pretty quickly once we realized the need and saw that the need was there and realized that time was of the essence. knowing that that the effort to build, to completely fund and build the Buckingham House would double their capacity and really help quicken their plan to end this this issue of child slavery. So we were able to move pretty quickly, and we did do our due diligence. We spent a lot of time talking to James and Jeff and a number of other funders who had been very involved and engaged with the original Hovde House that was constructed, and that was there at Challenging Heights, serving as the living quarters and also the classroom quarters. So we did a lot of due diligence along those lines and helped review the plans, both the construction plans, but then the operational plans. Like Jeff mentioned, ongoing operations is very important as well. And I am excited for the possibility that the rescue list will just really raise awareness for folks to be aware of the fact that Challenging Heights does exist and the good work that they do and the need that they do. And I think as far as the why, there are a lot of feelings and emotions that seeing this film can evoke. And I like to focus on the fact that I think it's inspirational. And at the end of the day, when you see what passion for an issue and feeling very strongly about an issue can do, and how James was able to get things done by forming Challenging Heights and starting to do these rescues. And, you know, I think that we were in a position to do something, and we were in a position to take action. And we did that, and we were good stewards of our funding, and certainly approached it in a very strategic and common sense way. But again, at the end of the day, we were in a position to do something and take action. And that's exactly what we did.
Teresa, there's a line to be walked in the philanthropic world, I would imagine, where you see a situation and you want to do something specific, but then you talk to the people who will be involved, and to them, that's not the best or most efficient use of the money or the space or whatever you're trying to do. Were there any challenges like that where your organization saw something that you felt needed to be done and Challenging Heights said, no, actually, we need this?
No, we were really in complete agreement and understood the need to just really have more physical capacity and have more classroom space and have more dormitory space to be able to rescue more children, to go out and bring those children off of Lake Volta and then bring them back to Challenging Heights. So we understood that completely. And the other thing that we really liked about the approach that the Challenging Heights team has is that they are in this for the long term. So they're looking at ways, as I mentioned previously, to impact the community and impact the country and the culture and get people to understand that there are other ways that they can make a living. And so the Challenging Heights teams has a number of other irons in the fire, if you will, to training programs that help young families realize what they can do, and a restaurant business and a fishing business, and then you know, some other things that they're doing to help with that. And we appreciate all of that, and we also appreciate the fact that they are very focused on education, long-term education for these children being the key to success. And so ensuring that they have a good solid education, and then helping many of them look at secondary and post-secondary options. And that is certainly something that we appreciate and are able to support as well.
Jeff, in the last minute that we have, rescuing a child from enslavement is the immediate goal that the group works on. What about the long-term mission to change the culture there, to make these things unacceptable in the first place?
Yes, that is the long-term goal. It's a very lofty one. As anyone, I think, would appreciate, changing a culture takes a long time. But I think with technology and a lot of dedication and a lot more players in the space now than there were 10 years ago, I think it's more realistic. And I'm really excited about James's run for office, which is not officially launched yet, but it's definitely in the works. But he's running for parliament, and I think that would be a great platform to be the voice for these vulnerable kids and help make greater change in the society.
Jeff Boyd is Executive Director of Friends of Challenging Heights. We really appreciate you taking the time, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Teresa Rhodes is Executive Director of the Buckingham Foundation in Indianapolis. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt. We're honored to be involved.
Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Maggie Galon. Scott Cameron's our managing editor. Our show is engineered by Adam Gross. Our podcast is wherever you get podcasts. Tomorrow we'll talk about the coronavirus's impact on education in Indiana. We are on Twitter and Facebook at All In Indiana. In the meantime, I'm Matt Pelser. Thanks for listening. This is All In.